Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would indeed show us Christ through the preaching of your word. May you receive the glory now. Lord, may everyone confess and believe that Christ is Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open them with me at Luke chapter 8 as we look at God's word this morning. Hearing aids are becoming more common nowadays. They've become very discreet that you can hardly even see whether someone's wearing them or not. But I remember my granda had one years ago. His wasn't so discreet. He didn't often wear it, and you often had to shout quite loudly for him to hear. But when he went to church, he always made sure that he had his hearing aid on. And he would always have asked me to make sure it was in the tea setting so that he could clearly hear what was being preached. Because in the tea setting, he was tuned into the loop system so he could hear God's word loud and clear. You may not be wearing a hearing aid this morning, but as you come to hear God's word, are you in the tea mode? Are you ready? Are you tuned in to listen to God's word? Or is this the point in the service where you just turn off, where you go for a wee sleep and you zone out? As we look at this passage this morning, we're going to look at the importance of hearing God's word and the response that it brings in each of our lives. Because the preaching of God's word does bring a response. God said in Isaiah that as his word goes out, it will not return to him void or empty, but it will accomplish all that he desires. And we see that clearly in this passage in Luke 8, this well-known parable of Jesus, where a farmer has gone out to sow his seed, but he's not using a seed drill where he goes very neatly along the edges. No, he's sowing it out broadly and generously. He's casting it out wide and far. Some fell on the hard path that was trampled underfoot. We see that the seed landed there was quickly eaten up by birds. Some fell among the rock, as though there was like a skiffle of soil over a rocky ground. It wasn't deep ground. So as the seed grew, it quickly withered because there was no opportunity to get roots down deep. Other seed fell among thorny ground. If you imagine a few windbrushes or big thistles growing up around it, it choked it out as that seed grew. Of course, there was plenty that fell on the good soil, but it was only in that soil that the seed was able to take root, and it grew, and it produced a hundredfold yield of what was sown. It's a straightforward parable, isn't it? It's one we've heard many times before. Jesus even gives an explanation of it. But so often this is picked up wrongly. We often call it the parable of the sower, but I think it would actually be more helpful to think of the parable of the soils. Because although the role of the sower is important, he's not the main focus. The main emphasis is what happens to the seed as it lands on each of those different soils. Verse 11 makes clear that that seed is the word of God. And so as the word of God is sown and as God's word is made known to people, these soils represent the different responses that come about from that. So as the seed of God's word is sown out this morning, I wonder, are you in the tea mode? Are you listening intently to what has been said? Because this word will bring about a response in your life. One way or the other, it will bring a response. So I want to look at three aspects concerning hearing and responding to the word. So firstly, the word is sown for all to hear. The word is sown for all to hear. If you ever watch some of those crime dramas on TV, maybe like The Line of Duty, which has been on recently, has been a big hit, or something to do with the Secret Service, you maybe at times see they have recorded someone in an interview, but as they pass that on the top of it, it says, for your ears only, or for your eyes only. It's for a specific person. Well, as the disciples asked Jesus to explain this parable, you might think that the gospel message was for their ears only. You think it was some sort of exclusive message that only the disciples were let in on. Because before Jesus explains this parable, he says in verse 10, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, But for others, they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. See, Jesus is really pointing out that there's two groups of people in this parable. There are those like the disciples who hear and respond to the gospel because the kingdom of God has been revealed to them. But as he quotes from Isaiah 6 and verse 9, there are others who will not understand. For them, hearing the gospel will actually bring about a hardness of heart, and they will not respond to it. Wasn't that clearly shown among the Pharisees? Back in chapter 5, Jesus had healed that paralytic man. The man who couldn't walk was able to stand again. Remember what Jesus said there? He said that he perceived their thoughts. Jesus knew that these men had hard hearts. They were hard against him. They didn't believe, and they wouldn't believe him. So if Jesus knew this, surely it would have been better for Jesus just to preach to certain people. Surely it would just been better even for that farmer who was sowing the seed to concentrate on the good ground. If he knew it was only that ground that would bring about a good harvest, surely it should just be concentrated on a certain place. But that's not what the farmer did, and that's not what Jesus did. He spread it widely for all to hear. Verse 1 says that Jesus went through the cities and the villages proclaiming and bringing good news of the kingdom of God. In verse 4, it says that there was a great crowd. It wasn't just a small group. There was loads of people there coming to hear him preach. See, Jesus spread this broadly and widely, not only to Jews or just to a certain group of people within the crowd. No, he broadcast it to all. Verse 8 says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This message went out to all people who had ears to hear. And if they had ears to hear, then they should be hearing that word of God. See, that was a pattern that the disciples were to follow as they would later be sent out to share this good news with others. And that's what we continue to do today. As I preach, I want you all to hear this message. I don't speak in a special code that only certain people of a certain age will understand. I don't speak to one group of people. No, I want to make this message as clear for all to hear and to understand it. But as I do that, I don't know who is going to respond in what way. That's not up to me. That's God's work. And likewise for those in your family, those in your class at school, those at university with you, those who you work with day by day, we don't know who will respond to the gospel or not. We don't know who will bear fruit. But yet we must share it with all people, even to those who seem hardened to the gospel, even those who are those people we think are hostile to it. We must share it with all. I think sometimes we can be very cautious, can't we, in sharing God's word with others. But surely if we have received that word, if we have come to know God's grace and that salvation in our own lives, surely we'll want to make that known to others. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And out of his great love, God has reconciled us to him through that death on the cross of the Lord Jesus. And we know he is alive today. He is risen. See, this is the message, the good news that we have to share, the message that has impacted us if we believe. And it's the message that we want others to hear and also believe. See, as that farmer sowed the seed, he wasn't concerned that some fell on the path. He didn't stop and cry over it. He wasn't concerned about the ones that went in among the thorns. He kept on sowing because at the end of the day, he had confidence that there would be a great yield. There would be a great harvest that would come. And so too, when God's word is sown for all here today, we can take confidence that God will work through his spoken word. He will accomplish all he has set out to do. Because it's God who prepares the ground. It's God who brings about his sovereign purposes and salvation. And yet he uses people like us to spread it. Isn't that amazing? But maybe we need to consider how we, both individually and as a church here, are sowing that seed. How are we playing our part and making sure that that is spread to all? Because we have a great message that needs to be made known. But I wonder, am I seriously playing our part in doing that? Are we making God's word, this good message, known to all? As we move through this parable, we see that the word is heard but not truly received. It's heard but not truly received. I wonder, do you all listen very well all the time? There's times when I'm coming home from doing some visits, and I'll get a phone call from Laura, my wife, on the way home, and she'll say, can you pick up a few things from the shop for dinner on the way home? I'm hearing what she's saying as she gives me the list, but when I get in through the door, I realize I haven't listened so well, and I've missed out the important ingredient, and I have to head back round down the road again. I realize I should have listened better. See, we need to listen carefully to God's word, to the instruction that we're given. But although there's four responses in this story, there's really only two outcomes at the end of the day. Those who truly listen and receive the word, and those who haven't. Because the first three soil types are those who haven't. They don't mature, they don't persevere to the end. There's no fruit comes from their life. I found it interesting as I was preparing this that each of these three groups actually heard the word of God. Look at it in verses 12 to 14. The ones along the path, they have heard. The ones on the rock hear the word. What fell among the thorns are those who hear. See, these people have heard the message. And if you're here week by week at church, you all have heard the word of God preached time and time again. As long as you've your hearing aid turned on or you're not sleeping, that is. But yet not all here have truly received that word. See, some are still missing that crucial ingredient, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is to be expected, as we see in this parable. And throughout history, we've seen that there will be various responses to God's word. Many have rejected it. Many have mocked it. Many have done what is right in their own eyes. And don't we see that today still? People don't want anything to do with God's word. They reject it. They ridicule it. They mock it. They go their own way. Many are like that soil on the path. The sower has walked up and down that path, sowing for years, and it's become compacted. It's become hardened. And the seed can't penetrate into that soil. And that's like so many people today. As I go out visiting, I've been in people's houses, you know, where they've told me, oh, you know, I've been part of Drumrea for so many years. I've been a member of that church for a long, long time, you know. But yet they still haven't received Christ. They haven't received the word of God. And hearing the gospel over all those years has actually hardened their heart against it more and more. They don't believe. They aren't saved, as verse 12 says. Wouldn't it be great that if God brought showers of rain this morning that would soften that hard soil, that there would be, it would be received, that people would believe and be saved this morning? Others are like those in the rocky ground. They receive the word with joy, but it says there's no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. They come to nothing. And too often, people hold on to this wee moment of joy as their hope of salvation. But actually, that was never truly received into their life. Christ was never truly received. It was never genuine. It didn't bring true repentance, a turning away from sin, putting it to death. There wasn't a complete dependency on Christ day by day as you live your life for him. See, just as that plant with no root on that rocky ground died and withered under the heat of the sun, so too, when such people face the heat of trials and difficulties in life, then their true identity is shown. Maybe you need to consider today whether you've got any roots to your faith. Is it genuine? When you face the unexpected loss of a job, or maybe you face the loss of good health, when you face the loss of a loved one, what's your response in those situations? Do you lean more on Christ? Do you turn to his word more? Or do you turn away from him? Do you reject him? Do you go completely away? I think the thorny ground typifies so many in the church today. Those who have heard the word, they have seemed to respond to it. As it says, there's some fruit. But this fruit hasn't matured. Instead of being like a nice, big, golden, delicious apple, It's more like a wee crabbed apple. It hasn't grown. It's stunted in its growth. It's come to nothing, and it's worthless. Instead of being concerned with the Word of God, they're more concerned about the word on the street in Coronation Street. Instead of being rich toward God, they're more concerned about the richness of their bank account. See, instead of pursuing God's Word, they're pursuing the things of this world, the things in this life that go contrary to God's Word, things that take us away from Christ. You see, if you're not depending on Christ for salvation alone and for God's Word to guide you day by day, then His Word hasn't been truly planted deep within your life. It won't come to maturity. There won't be true, lasting fruit. I wonder, as you hear these different scenarios, do any of them strike a chord with you today? Do you sit up and think, well, actually, that describes me pretty well. I haven't truly received it. So we've seen that the Word is sown for all to hear. We've seen that many have heard it, but yet haven't truly received Christ. But thank God that for many the Word is heard, and they do receive, and it bear fruit for all to see. They bear fruit for all to see. I mentioned my granda in the introduction. And my granda was the one who got me interested in growing fruit and veg at home. I would watch and listen to his instruction as we planted tomato plants together each year. And many years later, even after he's dead now, I continue to carry on planting tomatoes year in, year out. I planted mine a few weeks ago and they're doing well. But I do so expecting that they will bear fruit. I expect that there will be a produce at the right time. But that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. There needs to be patience as that process is ongoing, bearing fruit time and time again. See, the last soil mentioned is referred to the good soil, the one that bears fruit, but it says with patience. Of course, it's not meaning that these people are good in themselves. No, they're sinners in need of God to work in their life. But this picture of good soil gives us an image where, as these people hear the Word of God, their hearts have already been plowed up. It's already prepared to receive God's Word. It's not like the hard path where it's snatched away quickly, or like the rocky ground which there is no depth to, or like the thorny ground where it's choked out. No, in hearing the Word of God, it goes deep into the heart. It takes root in your life. It brings about a transformation that results in faith and repentance through trusting in the Lord Jesus. Of course, that doesn't mean that there won't be trials, that there won't be temptations or difficulties to face. If anything, being a Christian, you'll actually face more of this. But for those who have truly received God's Word and have accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord, they will be able to persevere through these tough times. Unlike those who fall away, God will enable you to endure to the end. And the Word of God will become more precious to you as you go through such times in your life. It will be there for you day by day. You'll turn to it in those times. You'll look to it and seek guidance from it. You'll know that God is your refuge in times of trouble. You'll know that God comforts those who mourn. You'll know that God will not let you tempted beyond what you can bear. You'll know that His grace is sufficient for you in times of weakness. You see, if you've truly received Christ and are part of His family, not only do you hear His Word, but you do it, as verse 21 says, you live it out with patience and endurance and a continual dependence on the Lord. Fruit will become evident in your life. Your true identity will be known as someone who is living for Christ, growing in Him, and it will shine through in your actions. It will be shown in how you take what you hear week by week in these sermons. And you'll go out and you'll live it out in the day to day. It will be shown in your attitude in prayer that you will seek God in prayer. You will come before Him. It will show in your hunger and desire to get more of God's Word, to get deeper into it. You'll also want to be around God's people. You'll want to learn from others. You'll want to share with others what you have been learning. You'll want to be with each other in those times of burden and need. You'll want to bring God's word to them in those times. You'll have a desire to serve within the church and the wider body. You'll want to bring God's word into every situation because it means so much to you. You see, the effects of God's word in someone's life can't be hidden. It's like that lamp on a stand. It must shine out for all to see. And you see, if you have truly responded to God's word, if you continue to live by it day by day, that will be made known and it will be clear for others to witness. The more you hear, the more you will live it out, and the more good fruit will come about in your life. I was at a conference last week, and the speaker said that in the world around us, people aren't asking Christians questions about their faith anymore. People aren't asking questions of Christians about their faith. I thought it was an interesting thing he was saying. But he gave the reason why. He said it's because people don't see anything that's worth talking about in most Christians. They can't see the fruit in someone who professes to be a Christian. And if they do see that fruit, it doesn't seem like it's really that desirable. It doesn't seem tasty or something that they would want to know more about. But surely that shouldn't be the case. Because if our lives have been cultivated by God and we've received the gospel, it should bear this delicious fruit that others will want to know more about. If our lives are truly displaying Christ and all that he has done in us, if people can see that repentance and a turning away from sin, and they notice a true joy and that you've got a hope for eternity, surely people will look at your life and they'll say, I want some of that. They will look at you and they'll say, what is it that is different about your life? Why are you able to live with such joy through trials and difficulties? I don't have that. Can you tell me more? I want to know more. I wonder, is that how we live out our lives? That it's shining bright for all to see, that there is clear evidence of a transformed life, one that has been given over completely to Christ. Is that clear in your life? Is it clear in mine? What a challenge, I think, to each of us to consider that if you claim to be a Christian today. But God's word has been sown here once again this morning. But I wonder if you've been truly listening and taking in that word. Have you been in the tea mode, tuned in? Have you listened to that word and let it go deep into your life? Or are you continuing to put up barriers? Has it just been snatched away once again? Have you continued to refuse to allow God's word to go deep in your life? All who have ears to hear, let them hear this morning. Receive this word. Take it and let it grow deep in your life and see what God will do as you continue to live for Christ. And he will produce that fruit that lasts not only for the days on earth, but for all eternity with him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. We thank you for how it reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and all that he has done for us. We thank you that your word has gone out for all to hear. And Lord, likewise this morning, all who are here, who have ears to hear, they have heard your word, Lord. Lord, we know that your word brings about different responses. But Lord, we pray that this morning each of us would consider that response to your word, that we would receive your word, that it would truly be planted deep in each of our lives, that we would repent from our sin, that we would turn to Christ and know that eternal life that is found only in him, that life that will grow and bear fruit, that life that will become clear for all to see as we go out into the world to be a shining light in a dark place. Lord, continue with us as we go out from here today. May we truly live by your word and make your word known to all we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.